You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
So many people apparently laugh at the Lakers said, you want to come coach us? Jason Kidd's gotta be on your coaching staff.
Gotta be.
Gert Ehlen, NBCSports.com, covers the NBA. What did he tweet a little bit?
Rumor. Lakers hired Jason Kidd to lure Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis. Here we go. It is the funny season. He's having dinner. He's recruiting everyone. And now it's time for Giannis. Every NBA player, come on down and come play with the Lakers. It's incredible.
Kawhi.
It's a disaster of an organization.
Westbrook.
Yet people in the national media still think that player after player after player. Have you listened to Giannis in the postgame yesterday? He went off. He guaranteed a Game 6 win. He sat there. He said he was ticked off. I didn't use the ticked off word. He didn't even want to talk about his rolled ankle. Yet this guy can't wait to go to the Lord by. Again, anyone that you talk to, in the know, outside the know, biggest difference, Milwaukee now and a couple years ago, quote, they don't have Jason Kidd as their coach. Yet that guy is going to lure
you didn't know
Giannis.
They're like this, man.
Welcome me to the weekend, Joey. Yes. Memorial Day weekend. Have at it. You going swimming, going to the beach? Barbecuing, crawfish, Berlin, what are you doing?
BBQ.
We're going to hang out this weekend, our families. Looking forward to that.
Correct.
Yep.
Eat a little bit of crawfish.
My favorite thing will be going over to the Kleber residence and looking for baby pictures. I want to see baby Kleber.
You want to see? I'm a stud as a baby.
Yeah, I want to see. Kind of embarrassing photos your mom and dad have.
They're not embarrassing.
Well, you never know. Sports Hangover. You never know. They might make their way onto Instagram and Twitter. Looking forward to your phone calls here. Coming up this hour, we have Gert Ehlen at 12:15 and Marlon Favorite at 12:30. And we'll have a little fun with this as well. We've been talking a little NBA, a little playoffs. Kawhi Leonard yesterday. Again, look, here's the thing. Storyline-driven talk shows, and Corey, I'm going to get to you in a quick sec. I'm going to focus Giannis, Kawhi. I think what you're seeing is, and again, just my analysis, it's why I've loved these conference finals, and it's why I've loved it because it makes me feel back in the day. What did I tell you what you're seeing right now with Giannis in Milwaukee? It's their first go at it. It's the first time Giannis is being targeted the way he is on the defensive end. The pressure, the questions, this far, this deep, this much at stake, the works with this team, this squad. It's the first time. You saw it last night. They kind of had trouble handling it yesterday. Late in that fourth quarter, right? What did you see on the other end? Kawhi Leonard just won a championship, has been with the Spurs, calm, cool, collective. When the game was a three-point game, two-point game, what did he do, Jordan? What did he do? See if you paid attention.
Knock down his free throws.
How do you get to the free throw line? Went to the basket.
Correct.
Went to the basket. I talked about it when the Warriors advanced and moved on and knocked out Houston. The play, what was it? It was a pick and roll, simple layup Draymond Green knocked down from Steph Curry. Pick and roll. They didn't settle. Now, this is a team that can knock down jumpers anywhere. Three-pointers from half court. Pick and roll. Layup, kiss the ball off the glass, go home. Kawhi Leonard showing experience. Toronto hadn't played with Kawhi, but Toronto has been heartbroken several times. LeBron with the game winner, LeBron kind of knocking him out. Toronto couldn't get past that hump, but they've been in similar situations as a team, as an organization. You add Kawhi, championship experience, you're seeing it. They've won three in a row, and you're seeing how they're doing it. Clutch. It's beautiful. Milwaukee's going to grow from this. I'm interested to see what happens in six if they can do it. But if they don't do it, they're going to be better next year. But it's growth. That's what you see. Jordan had to go through it too. Bird in the Celtics. Magic in the Lakers. Isaiah in the Pistons. Got to get your heart broke once or twice. It makes them better. I love seeing this because you're seeing it. Reggie Miller, Corey, I promise, I'm getting you in 30 seconds. Reggie Miller had a great breakdown coming out of break showing Giannis, and the camera was on the backboard of the opposite end, and he's going away from the TV. And he took on five Raptors. You saw Toronto sag. Three guys in the lane and box. Two guards sag from the wing into the top of the key and into the elbows. And Giannis drove right down the lane, stumbling, fumbling, turned the ball over. And they showed four Milwaukee Bucks, two on each corner, two on the wing. But Giannis, again, what did he hear from Screamin' A the day before? You got to be an MVP. You got to take it. He's learning. And what is Toronto doing? Anybody but Giannis.
They're taking that experience when they got knocked out from LeBron James, and they're using it against Giannis.
But it was a great analysis from Reggie Miller. Because, you saw it, and he's going to see it. He's going to see it on film. 800-998-1003. Corey, call back if you dropped off there. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing that you saw and that you're going to see. And I think the thing that really stood out to me more than anything. Jalen Rose on the Kyrie Irving situation. Everyone seems to think he's heading to the Lakers.
If you're Kyrie, you already asked to leave from playing with LeBron. You go to Boston, it seems like a turnkey situation that should work. It does not work.
Right.
It kind of looks like you go back crawling to LeBron. Okay.
Ooh,
crawling like that
to LeBron. 800-998-1003. Corey, thanks for giving us a call. What you got, man?
Hey, guys. I heard you talking about the series with Toronto and Milwaukee. Yeah. I think the difference is with the both teams is one of them have a close and one of them, he's just getting to that stage.
Yep.
And, I mean, with Giannis, I get it. He'd probably be the MVP, but once you got to go up against somebody, it's the best out of seven. It's like you're not playing one game, so they can scheme on you. They can come up with defense. And as you can see, they're putting up the wall on Giannis. Giannis got to do, Giannis got to go back to the drawing board this offseason and work on that jump shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not going to beat nobody going to the rack in a seven-game series. I mean, he's just not going to do it. Me, personally, I pretty much pull it for Toronto. I like Toronto to beat them. But, I mean, if you look at all of his role players kind of let him down. I mean, from the game one and two, I mean, it was on fire. It was on fire, and I mean, just the fact is that Toronto, like you said, Toronto been there before. Milwaukee, they never been on this stage before. But they, I mean, I don't know if the stage might be too bright for them. I mean, some of their players been there. I mean, Nico, he been there, a year ago. He kind of, he was there with the Pels, but George Hill. But for the most part, I just think that Giannis got to pretty much let the game come to him. I think he's kind of forcing the issue, and he's not trusting his teammates because you just made what you were saying just now about one on five. Man, there's no way in the world you're supposed to attack the rack like that was one on five.
Yeah,
you can't do it.
You know, and it's crazy because I was thinking about that. It was so true. I mean, Jordan had his moments, man. He did. But that shot, that last shot with the Bulls uniform, the game winner in the finals, he wasn't a push off. The guy slipped. But my point is, it was a one on one matchup, right?
Right.
When he drove the lane and the defense sagged, he kicked it out to Paxson. I think it was Paxson, right, for the three to beat the Suns in the finals in that game six. It's a learning experience and trusting your teammates, because I want to say of the six titles, I want to say two, somebody else took a shot that helped win that championship. Like, literally, right, in the final seconds. I think
I want to say Kerr, right? Steve Kerr, yeah. Didn't Kerr hit a jumper?
Yeah, exactly. So, And that's the thing. You have to get to that stage. But to your point, other guys got to give him that confidence to go do it. And that's the beauty of this, though. That's what I love about this, right? It's called the rite of passage in the NBA. I mean, you do see it in the postseason. You got to get that. And if you remember last year, and again, that's why I was so disappointed with what AD did this year. If you want to leave, fine. The right time, do it at the end of this year. Because I wanted to see, you got to take that next step. He killed this season to try to take that next step. And the next step is when you get to that next round, everything gets tougher. How do you carry then that team? Look, I love having fun with LeBron and stuff like that. But it took him a while, and he showed it in that series with Cleveland. He and Kyrie, they took over. When everyone knows the ball is going to you, you have to do it. And it's different. It's a learning experience. This time last year, Tim Legler had a great bite in saying that Kyle Lowry and those guys, they're not the guys. They're not that next tier players that take it up the next level. They went out and got Kawhi Leonard, you know, and there he was doing it last night.
And to me, I mean, you make that trade for a reason. It's not a knock on DeRozan. I mean, because to be honest, which I don't think they even make it out of the second round. But if you get a superstar player like Kawhi, I mean, it just changes the whole landscape. The guy missed 9 games, and now he's on the brink of pretty much bringing his team to the finals.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Let me ask you this, Corey, because I do see a lot of people mentioning this when it comes to, does it add the possibility of more teams perhaps taking the risk of maybe the one-year rental with Anthony Davis? Because there's no guarantee that Kawhi is signing there, right?
Right.
And do you risk and take the one-year rental and say, hey, look, Kawhi did it for Toronto. We got a pretty good team. If AD comes here this year, let's make a run to the finals. I wonder if that happens, especially if Toronto wins game 6.
I think you do, but it got to be a perfect situation. Kawhi went to a perfect situation. Now, if you trade AD to, let's just say hypothetically, you trade him to Phoenix, you know he's not going to resign with the Phoenix.
Bingo. Okay.
I mean, it's just not going to work. Now, if you trade him to, let's say, New York, you probably get Durant over there and you probably get Kyrie. Nah, you're pretty much cooking with something. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's just the situation that you got to go to. I mean, it's just a perfect team. And, unfortunately, it was a perfect time, a perfect team for Kawhi. And now you're pretty much going to go to the finals. Now, whether he resign or not, I don't know. Now, you win the championship. How can you pretty much leave that? Leave a team that you went to the championship and have a chance to repeat. I mean, I think you probably resign back with him. That's what you think.
It depends what you want. It depends what, and when I say that, when I say what you want, in Toronto, man, that fan base loves that team. They really do. I don't mean this in the negative way because it is a big city, you know? It really is. It's New York up there in the north. But do you really know what's going on up there? You know what I'm saying? So Kawhi is one of those guys that kind of seems quiet, doesn't like to say and talk much and do that. You can do very well up there. You get some money. For sure, you're going to get money wherever it is that you go, and you have an opportunity to go. I mean, right now you would say Giannis and the Bucks are going to be a team that's going to be in there year in, year out. Let's see what Boston sort of happens, but you're there. So as long as you're there and they can add and build and continue to do that, you can do that. Are you going to be able to do that if you go to the Clippers, which is the team that everybody seems to think that's where he would go to? He's not going to the Lakers. So,
but to me, I'm sorry, Gus. It's a win for Toronto. If Toronto win the finals, it's a win for them because they rolled the dice and they came up winning. So it's a win for them. So, I mean, I just think that I hope they do it. I want them to beat Golden State. One last question, Gus, on the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Why do they have, like he turned by the hip, Jason Kidd? Why don't they just get Kidd the job that they're pretty much having, forcing them to have him on the coaching staff? I don't get it.
Because I don't think a lot of people think that Jason Kidd can coach very well, which is what I've heard from a lot of people that covered the Bucks and covered. We had a Milwaukee sports radio show host, remember? And he said the same things like, Timo, Jason Kidd couldn't coach anything. So I think that's, again, that's, that said, the belief in LA is that he will help facilitate and talk to guys like Lonzo Ball and help develop his game at point guard. That's the belief as to why he's even on the staff. It ain't coaching. And I'll ask Kurt next out of this break if it's really to try to get Giannis. everything that I hear from that guy, number 34 ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't blame him for going anywhere. He's in the perfect situation. But thank you for taking my call, Gus. Good luck, man. Have a good weekend. It's holiday weekend, and y'all enjoy.
You as well, Corey. Thank you as always. Appreciate it. Kurt Elan, NBC Sports up next. Talk a little more NBA on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
This summer, take the road trip to complete your baseball stadium bucket list.
And when you do, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham Hotels,
where you can now earn and redeem Wyndham Rewards points at La Quinta and thousands of other Wyndham Rewards properties worldwide.
Plus, free bright side breakfast and the free high-speed Wi-Fi so you can stay in the work zone while you're away.
Well, with perks like these, you're going gone.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph.
Book direct at LQ.com.
Are you a big guy fed up with clothes that don't fit? Here's a tip. Head to DXL. Anyone can make a bigger shirt, but DXL makes clothes that actually fit. It's all they do. Want to know their secret? Okay. They've spent years developing their own sizing patterns to make sure it's a comfortable fit every time and every size. Good luck finding that anywhere else. So head to DXL.com and check out a store near you. DXL Big and Tall. Built for you at DXL.com.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, up for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge, for the exact same high-speed networks. It's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Kurt Elan covers the NBA for NBC at Basketball Talks. The way to follow him over on Twitter. Kurt, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, man.
For sure, man. Let's go with one of your latest tweets, man. Jason Kidd really trying to recruit Giannis?
Yeah, good luck with that. Look, everybody has got this fantasy that Giannis wants to leave Milwaukee, and so I was just talking with somebody about that 2 days ago. I literally know nobody around the league who thinks Giannis is leaving. Like, you should try to recruit him. Go. Good luck with that. But that situation, they are so set up for long-term success there that the impression is he's not going to look around. Plus, he's a guy who's really into loyalty, so I would be stunned if he pulled an Anthony Davis in the next year, but we'll see. You got to shoot your shot, right?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I think it's funny. Look, we've been having a little fun asking where you would go have dinner in New Orleans to try to recruit future Pels players based on the photograph of LeBron at Nubo in Malibu, right? So, I mean, that's where we are now, wherever they play dinner and try to get that. It is funny. The Lakers are kind of one of those things here. I haven't talked to you since the lottery. Your thoughts when you see that the Pels win and potentially get you-know-who at number one?
Well, that was just huge for them. I mean, beyond anything else, Zion Williamson is a guy who gets met. When I talk to scouts about, like, what do you rate this guy, how do you have him coming out, and nothing's ever universal, but the names that kept coming up were Anthony Davis and Karl Anthony Towns. Like, he could be that kind of franchise cornerstone player. In terms of impact, he's obviously a different position a little bit, plays differently, but in a modern NBA, he can be that kind of guy because not only does he have, I think we all know, insane physical tools, but a really driving work ethic. And look, his shot's got to get a little better and his handle's got to, every rookie, you know, you have things to improve on, but he's got the work ethic. He is incredibly competitive. He's got everything you want. So winning that just makes, like, those are the hard guys to get, right? It's hard to get those guys, and this gives whatever happens with Anthony Davis, this gives David Griffin a chance to build something around Zion that makes this team really successful in a few years.
Kurt, I'm greedy. I'm not even going to lie to you. I spent a good portion of the show trying to come up with ways on how to move up one spot. If I trade to the Knicks, get the number 3, there goes AD. Have fun in Times Square. Now I want to move up and get Ja Morant. I want a 1-2 punch of Ja and Zion. Look, but this is the beauty. We have so many general managers in the city, but that's the beauty, Kurt, that David Griffin right. can go so many different areas, so many different ways. Boston's uh-huh. out there, Clippers out there, all these different things. I mean, where do you even begin to kind of try to say, what can you do if AD, when this meeting happens in L.A., says, no, seriously, guys, deuces, trade me?
Which is kind of what I expect to happen. This is the conversation, honestly, that David Griffin had with Gail Benson and Loomis and anybody else who was in the room when he got hired. There's no way, he's too smart, but frankly, any GM would have done this. This conversation already happened. This conversation of, if we trade Anthony Davis, we're going this route. Already to a degree. I mean, in terms of we're going to rebuild, we want to get young players, do we want to just get some veterans so we don't, you know, how far down do we want to go? Now, getting Zion makes things a million times easier. You might be bad, but there's going to be a lot of hope for a few years. I like the idea of Ja Morant. I'll also tell you there is 0.0 chance Memphis is giving that pick up. they're going to move Mike Conley after this and start their own project because they got Jaren Jackson Jr. last year. He might have, if he hadn't got injured midway through the year, would have been on a lot of Rookie of the Year ballots. He was really good this year. But you start moving around it. There are really interesting options. Obviously, everybody talks about, you know, Jason Tatum's potential and that Memphis pick and everything that could come from Boston. But you casually mentioned the Clippers, who, if Kawhi decides to stay, Lord knows what he's thinking because he's kind of a mime. But, you know, obviously they're having all this success and they're one game away from the finals. And if he decides to stay, they become an absolute wild card in free agency. Because if they want to come after Anthony Davis, they can put together a package with, you want a point guard? Did you watch Shai Gilgeous-Alexander this year? He is really, really good. And they've got good young players that can go. They've got the Miami unprotected 21 pick. Like, there's just a lot to like about what kind of package they could put together, match salaries with somebody like Gallinari that can help in the short term. So there's a lot. He has a lot of options. He's going to be able to start a bidding war a little bit, and we'll see who jumps in, but he's going to be able to get a lot back.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I think it's exciting as I've ever seen here in this offseason. And already the NBA offseason is going to be nuts. Obviously, I'm having fun with the photo of LeBron having dinner and such, but there's so many different players that can move.
That's not an accident.
No. How much can we take of Klay Thompson's reaction, right? Of him losing $30 million. And if KD leaves, I mean, that could be a completely different team. There's so much that can take place this offseason.
Yeah. Look, Klay Thompson's frustrated, but not. It doesn't change this for him. What it means now is Warriors can still give him a little bit more, just not a lot more than anybody else. But I'll tell you that going back, I have heard this from the start. He likes it there. He likes playing for the Warriors. Turns out he likes winning a lot. He likes being part of maybe the best backcourt ever, at least certainly one of them. As long as they don't cheap out, and they're not going to. I've heard they're going to max him out. He's going to get maxed out. He's going to take the money. He's the one, like, just not going anywhere. So I think he's off the table. But, yeah, I don't blame him for being – look, I could use $30 million. I know for you that's just pennies, but for some of us that's a lot of money.
I hear you. It is funny when you start thinking about where these players will go or not go, especially as has been pointed out in the past with a couple of other people nationally, Kurt. A lot of these big free agents have already won the championship. So it may not be as much ring chasing as more of, you know, check chasing or brand
legacy.
Chasing to be their own guys. Right.
Yeah, if you're KD and Kawhi, obviously, in particular, they've already got the rings. They've got the finals MVPs. So it's about, and KD's kind of the easier, obvious example. It becomes about, he's won his titles. He's got the MVPs, but he won those titles in, that's still Steph Curry's culture. That's still Steph Curry's team. That's still Steph everything, right? So now it's, can I do this, you know, whether it's the Knicks or the Clippers or whatever. do I go somewhere and do it on my terms with me as the man? And can I do that? Can he succeed in that role? But I think that becomes it. Kawhi is, yeah, again, I'd have a, it's like talking to a rock. So who knows? I know, you know, who knows what he's actually thinking.
Well, speaking of him, they got another game here coming up in game six with Milwaukee and Toronto. How do you think this goes? Because I think this, I mentioned this earlier in the show. It's beautiful to sort of watch the trial by fire. You see it in some of the greats of the NBA, Jordan, Bird, Isaiah, Matt. They all had to go through it, getting a heartbroken. And just seeing what it's like at that next level before they take that next step. And you're seeing that with Giannis right now of handling it, how teams are defending him and doing that. How do you think this goes? Because right now it definitely seems like momentum's on Toronto's side.
Yeah, and if you're Toronto, by the way, you've got to close this out, right? Like, you cannot go back to Milwaukee for a seven. That would open the door to too many problems. This is where Kawhi's been brilliant. I mean, yeah, 35 points and more importantly, like 9 assists. He was a really great playmaker last night. But he's still bodying up Giannis as well as anybody's going to, as you humanly can. He's making him really work. And the other, Bledsoe had a hot start, but they're just not getting enough from other guys. Mm-hmm. And the other thing to watch in this series, what Toronto has really done well is gotten Milwaukee to play their game. The pace hasn't been fast. If Milwaukee's doing well, they're out and running. Giannis is getting, you're missing a shot because of their defense, then Giannis is out in transition and, good luck. Good luck stopping him, once he gets ahead of steam. At least he's not LeBron and he won't just go right through you. Like, at least he'll Euro step around you while he embarrasses you. But you're still not going to stop him. But they've taken that away. They've made this a half court grinding playoff style game. And I think that's the thing Giannis is learning the hard way. That they've got to find a way to get those buckets because Toronto's half-court defense has been brilliant in this series.
All right, so the Warriors, you see what they were able to do without Kevin Durant, and you look at this finals. Who would give us the better finals from a fan standpoint?
In some ways, matchup-wise, just pure paper matchup, I think the Bucks are interesting, but personality-wise and for fans, I think Toronto's fascinating because now you do get Kawhi. Remember, the last time Kawhi faced the Warriors in the playoffs, they were blowing him out in game one until Zaza Pachulia slid under his foot in San Antonio. Mm. There's some dynamic there. He's good at playing them. That is still Mark Gasol's been to conference finals. Kyle Lowry's been around the conference finals. He's been around the block. Pascal Siakam's young, but Danny Green has rings. That's a team that knows how to win, and isn't going to be as phased by the moment, and I think can play well. I'll still take the Warriors.
All that said,
I think that either of these teams can make it an interesting six-game series, though. Like, I don't think this is not like last year where like the conference finals were the finals, and you're like, all right. now we've got to go through the motions of these finals so that we can get over. It's not going to be like that.
You could have just said you just really want to see more Drake. That's what it boils down to.
No, that's exactly what it is. I need to see Drake going Joe Biden on Nick Nurse on the sidelines again.
Could he possibly get teed up? I'm just trying to think of how you get this to game seven and you want conspiracy theories everywhere. He takes a half a step on the court. The official's right there. Budenholzer is like, look, there's the tee. The game's tied. Giannis sinks two free throws. We go back to game seven. Now that's what I'm talking about. That's what I want in the game six.
Exactly. They're going to be all over him. It's going to be interesting in this one. Like, the league sat him down. And it's just like, dude, don't.
And conversely, he's absolutely going to say it's going to do even more.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, it's coming.
he remains the mayor of Toronto and can do whatever he wants.
Kurt Elam at Basketball Talk is the way to follow him over on Twitter. Lead NBA writer, managing editor over at NBCSports.com. I always appreciate the time, especially on short notice. And, Jordan, good job. Thanks for getting Kurt. I appreciate that. He bothers time. And look, I do appreciate it. But I do talk about it.
I do appreciate it, Kurt.
I'm always happy to do it when I can, man. I'm always happy to do it when I can. This time of year, it just gets hard because travel and schedule and stuff.
We do. That's why we're thanking you.
So thank you, man. It's fun. I'll talk to you again soon.
For sure, man. There he goes, Kurt Elam.
Do I get a round of applause?
I just gave you a verbal
pat on the back.
I just gave you a verbal pat on the back.
Thank you. About time.
You're quickly becoming the Drake of the sports.
About
show.
Time. Might have to leave my talents to go to South Beach.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
Dwayne retired.
The beach.
Just the beach.
Yeah.
Try again. You could have. You had something going there. You could have said, "I'm taking my talents north of the border to go hang out with my boy Drake."
Ooh.
You could have said that.
This is why I'm interning.
Exactly. I like, look at Jordan. Marlon Favorite joins us next. His thoughts on OTA numero tres that we got to see for your New Orleans Saints. Sport Takeover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Homa Credit can help with those unexpected needs for cash when you least expect it, or for home improvements or anything else you need. They have loans $300 and up. They offer fast, friendly service and payments to fit your budget. Plus, they even accept phone applications. The folks at Homa Credit have up to 30 years' experience, and they're locally owned and operated. Call 223-1085 or look them up on Facebook.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
Check out the Go Outdoors event and sale at Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, with huge savings on great gear for camping, hiking, paddle sports, boating, fishing, and more. This Saturday and Sunday, bring the kids for free crafts, workshops, giveaways, and free fishing at our catch and release pond. Plus, all law enforcement, firefighters, and EMS personnel will receive a Hometown Heroes discount. In-store purchases only. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
It is. Jordan, walk like a... Come on.
Walk like a frog.
Oh.
Walk it like a talker.
You've never heard this song?
Never heard the song.
Yeah, who sings?
The Beach Boys. Yeah, those guys.
Yep, the Autumn Four. Marlon Favorite, big fave. 504 joins us. Marlon, how are you?
Man, I'm feeling good, brother. Nice, beautiful weather out here. Kind of hot, you know, summer's heating up, so... How about yourself, Gussie? How y'all making out? You enjoying this? He's doing his little music trivia over there.
Hello, yeah, you know, we're trying to do the best we can over here. Look, man, I know one of the things that's always fun, and we try to, as OTAs are now underway, we got to finally watch practice, Marlon, at least one of those. It's easy to see Chauncey Gardner-Johnson in with the ones. It's easy to see Trayvon Darrow making catches. The skill position players, my point being, hard to kind of see how the guys up front, the beef, and what they do. When you take a look at how this these OTAs sort of go, how can you shine being up front on offense or defensive line? How do you stand out to coaches when there's no pads and real hard contact?
Well, I think the best way for a guy to get their shine on, Gus, you know, got to take it to the BD style, baby. Hello, somebody. Get your shine on. The way you get your shine on, Gus, is play with good technique. Show that you have good hands. If pads are on, or is your body in the right position, I think that's the biggest thing that coaches look for in OTAs out of the players. For a defensive lineman, there's a drill called one-on-one where you're rushing a half of a man. You know, your coach wants to see good feet. You want to see great technique. You know, really nice pass rush move. No bull rushing. You know, obviously no pads are on, so, you know, the coach doesn't expect or anticipate a defensive lineman to run a guy over, you know, because then that's, you know, pretty bad because the guy isn't protected. Now, on the other side of the ball, the offensive line, it's important that they have really good feet, nice knee bend, flexibility in their ankles because they have to do a lot of lateral movement, you know, horizontal movement. They have to do, you know, those type of kick, step, punch. You know, those type of things to show that or indicate that their hands are in the appropriate spot.
You know, one of the things as well, too, is you have different competitions that are going to be in and around there. And we talked about on draft day what having a guy like McCoy was going to be able to do. And really, we're like, well, what about the other guys he already sort of had there? And Cameron Tom and Nick Easton, why did you sign him? And we all said on the panel, you, 4K, myself, and Meach, and we all said, look, it's going to provide depth. Because you never know what happens. Well, Larry Warford was getting side work yesterday. McCoy, of course, is just learning. So we saw it with team drills, Cameron Tom at center and Nick Easton at guard. And it automatically shows you that depth there. If McCoy winds up being the starter, you have a guy that yesterday started snapping the ball to Drew Brees. If there's an injury to a Warford or Pete, you saw Nick Easton day, you know, three of OTAs there in at guard. So that it was immediately what we were talking about. We saw case in point. There's the depth. Those are the guys that were in the first unit yesterday.
Oh, no doubt, Gus. And that's what the New Orleans Saints mind frame was. It's just providing depth in that position. That's something that the black and gold deal with a lot last year, not having the depth up front to sustain November, December. So off-season meetings and looking at personnel, it doesn't surprise me at all that thought crossed their mind. Let's get some guys in here with the experience, particularly can play guard and tackle, sometimes center. Me and Skylar Green, we talk about this all the time, where you'll have a guy that's really good at center, but you may have to use him at guard or vice versa because you never know how the bunch, you know, if your center gets hurt, you don't have a for sure center behind him or as a guy like on a practice squad or something like that. You have to depend on a guard to be able to do that. So we talk to our players about that all the time, man, just being versatile for sure.
Obviously, one of the other things that we wanted to take a look at, we didn't, was Marcus Davenport. Didn't participate in the team portion of OTAs, but again, working his way back from surgery, injuries, and all that. Look, you've been on the D-line. It's easy to see a knee injury, a shoulder injury. Why can things like toes or just your feet as well be an issue for defensive linemen?
Oh, man, the biggest thing, Gus, is all of the power and all of the push-off is off that toe, off the balls of your feet. You don't play on your heels, similar to basketball. Basketball, you want to, somewhere in the middle of your foot to the ball of your feet, you want to have your base. So as a defensive lineman comes off the ball, he's coming out his hips, and he's using the base of his feet. You're pressing on the toe. Sometimes you can't push off of it. Man, I had turf toe before playing arena ball. Gus, it isn't fun. The trainers have to do a special tape job for it so you don't overextend it, and it stays in a place to where it's not moving when you push off of your foot. So those are the type of injuries you want to continue to get treatment on, but not only get treatment, make sure you take the time to heal. So at a time like this, I mean, Davenport has put on tape what he can do, which is good, so he doesn't have anything to prove. He's not on a one-year prove-it deal, right? He's with the black and gold for a while, unless he's trade bait somewhere down the line. But again, I think that he put enough on tape to where he showed that he doesn't really need a whole lot of OTA time. So, you know, you want to use this time to go as minimal reps as possible, but, you know, utilize that time to rehab.
Yeah, no doubt. And I definitely, look, like I said, it's one of those things where with some of those players, and you saw a handful of players yesterday not participate you don't freak out about, because it is still May. That said, I'm gonna say it's a little different if you're Cameron Meredith. You're a guy that came in as a free agent last year, expecting to help out. It didn't pan out. I don't know if you weren't healthy. You then got injured. They cut the season short. You've had an off season. And again, he might have practiced Tuesday and Wednesday for all I know. I don't. We only get to see Thursday. But Marlon, seeing him do side work yesterday, it can start becoming an issue, because as Coach Payton said yesterday about Trayvon Doral, he's healthy. Now we have to evaluate him. But to evaluate, you have to be on the field. If we're going into mini camp, which is 3 weeks from now, and Cameron Meredith is not participating in team drills, that's a story.
Yeah, that's man, it was always this old saying, coaches always told us in the NFL, even in training staff, man, you can't make the club in the tub. So that always stuck in my head, man. You want to be healthy. And you look at a guy like Cameron Meredith, you know, he's an older guy. He's been in the league now for some years. So the older you get, the less attractive you look to the staff, not just the staff, but, of course, the decision maker. Of course, take his awareness and his ability to catch, and when he's healthy, how well he looks, and understanding the value of the game. But can't make the club in a tub. They're going to look towards guys that are younger. And, you know, I know Trayvon Doral has, you know, dealt with some minor injuries, but he's a younger guy, 22, 23 years old, as opposed to a guy in his 30s. You know, you'll be a little less concerned about his injuries and what he could contribute. But in a case of a guy like Cameron Meredith, you know, if he's Davenport on the side, that's one story, Gus. That's, you know, his first-round draft pick. They traded up. Right. He's actually a two-time first-round draft pick, right? 2018 and 19 first-round draft pick. So they're going to be a little more patient, a little more tolerable with his injuries, as opposed to a guy like Cameron Meredith, who they're looking – last year, actually, they were looking for him to come in, and the same reason they wanted Dez Bryant to come in to be that receiver to complement Michael Thomas.
You know, Marlon, as we wrap up here, and again, next week will be the second go at it here as well. You're going to start seeing, I guess, a little bit more of what, you know, players kind of start getting into and stuff. But as I was saying this point yesterday, maybe you can give a player's take. To me, when you look at training camp and you get ready for game one to game two, to me, it's only like 10 to 12 practices, man, that you really have before that first week. Yeah, maybe two or three more before then. Then you get into week three, you're working on that first opponent, that third preseason game, sort of that, game, that dress rehearsal. I guess what I'm trying to say is, has OTAs and minicamp become a little more important, to where it's going to be harder for, say, a player that is trying to catch the coach's eye, move up the depth chart, learn the playbook, to wait till training camp? Because to me, I think once you get into training camp, you're not getting it down that first week. Week two of training camp, you're in trouble, because depth in the depth chart starting to get set.
I'll take a guy like a young old guy, three, a guy like Alvin Kamara. OTAs isn't as important for him as opposed to a guy that maybe a six-round draft pick, a guy that hadn't proved himself yet. These OTAs, even though you're not in pads, it's still getting tape. You want to put on tape that you know what you're doing. You want to show leverage. You want to make sure that, if you're a lineman, you want to show leverage and quick hands, and the fact that, hey, if we had pads on, I would have made that play. You want to make that obvious. But for the skill positions, you want to run crisp routes. Hey, you still have to catch the ball. You know, Drew's going to put that thing on the money. You want to be able to catch that, to show it on tape. Hey, if this is a real live game and this coverage, I'm going to catch that. And that's why it's important to the guys that hadn't solidified themselves yet. So OTAs has its importance, but you want to make sure before you get to fall camp that, hey, here's a guy we can use. Let's check him out in these preseason games to see if he fits in our system. So it's important to some, for sure.
At Big Fave, 504 is the way to follow Marlon Favorite over on Twitter and the podcast Inside the Trenches. Thank you, Marlon. Appreciate it.
Man, thanks, Gus. Talk to y'all soon.
Enjoy Happy Memorial Day weekend to you. Exactly. See, I was just about to say the same thing to you. There it is.
Great minds think alike.
Enjoy yourself, man. Say hi to the fam for me.
Will do. You do the same, brother. Take care.
There he goes. I forgot to ask him how big TD is. If he's benching yet.
You could probably bench Carver.
Yeah, he's at OTAs. Yeah, TD. Maybe him and Carver can kind of, you know, play on the same defense together.
A toddler off.
Just saying. I got no trouble if he wants to be a linebacker. Get in there, kid. Make some plays. Sports Hangover wraps things up when we come back. Let's hear from Jared Cook and Nick Easton. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Truck or SUV? Well, look no further than Golden Motors, your only local Chevy Buick dealer. Golden has unbelievable deals going on right now. Get $11,500 off MSRP on a 2018 Chevy Silverado, or get a 2019 Chevy Silverado for only $29.9 plus TTNL. That's just a couple of examples of the deals going on right now at Golden Motors on the back road in Cutoff. Stock number CT27846 and 2019 stock number CT294888. See dealer for details.
Drivers, spring is here, and along with sun and warmth, you can expect post-winter road hazards like potholes, uneven pavement, springtime showers, and an increased number of cyclists and pedestrians. Did you know that 2018 was the deadliest year for pedestrians since 1990? This spring, slow down on wet roads, avoid potholes, and stay on the lookout for pedestrians and cyclists. For more driving safety tips, visit driversed.com.
This is Golic and Wingo.
Let's bring in our NBA analyst, Amin El-Hassan. A lot of people were, including us here, were saying, hey, what a great job Brad Stevens did last year, right, when he didn't have Kyrie down the stretch. At some point, they have to find a way to make it work because the talent is there. That they're better than the sum of their parts, right?
You'd hope so, right? The whole is better than the sum of parts. But right now, that's not what's happening. That's why basketball isn't arithmetic. It's not 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. Like in the case of the Warriors, you've got all these different talents and egos, and you would say, oh, they must have severe chemistry problems, but they find a way through their style of play to get more out of it than just individual guys going one-on-one. Sometimes it's the opposite. Sometimes you've got all this talent, but because it's either not complimentary or guys are not willing to accept the role. Because really, that's what it comes down to. Guys, A, understanding what their roles are, and then B, accepting those roles. And I think Boston has a little problem in both of those categories there.
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hi, welcome back. Nick Easton again filling in at the guard position yesterday on approaching how the competition is going to be right now.
Yeah, I've been here before, and, you know, we're all teammates, we all love each other, and we're just going to go out and play the best that we can, and it'll sort itself out from there.
As for getting the relationship with quarterback Drew Brees?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is just getting the reps, so the more time you can spend together, the better, and it kind of works itself out from there.
Play at guard, that's where we saw him at practice yesterday. What about being able to play a little center?
All reports, Drew's awesome, so very center-friendly quarterback, so I'm looking forward to that.
That's right, I remember Drew saying yesterday, Jordan, that doesn't matter who's bent over, he'll go take the same snaps. That's what he said. Why are you shaking your head?
Nothing.
That's what he said. It just goes down the line. If you're bent over, he'll come snap. Did I misunderstand that?
No. We're good.
That's what he said.
Next soundbite.
It is. It's what he said. Here it is. What? Listen.
Here's the thing. For example, like quarterback center exchange, you know, which is the period that we start the day with, right? When we walk out here, special teams goes and quarterback centers, we go down here and it's just rep after rep, right? With each guy, and you're calling pass plays, you're calling run plays, you're mixing up the cadence. You're just, you know, so I just make my way down the line. You know, it could be the fourth or fifth string guy. I want to take snaps with him, right? Because my mindset is no matter who's in there, I got to be able to get the snap from them, right? I got to be able to find that rhythm with them, and we have to be able to execute. So regardless of who it is at the end, We'll have time on task together.
Yeah.
Drew has Ryan.
See, you could, you could have gone right down.
He said it different.
Just go get right next to, you know, Nick Easton. Bend over. Just wait your turn.
I don't think that's what he said.
When you feel the hands, just snap the ball.
I don't think that's what he said.
No, that's what he said. He's so good, and that's why he's a Hall of Famer. It doesn't matter who exactly it is he's taking the snap from. Why are you grinning? I think it was a great bite. That's why he's so good. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter who snapped.
It could be the rear end of a Max Unger or a Jordan Kleber. Ball's getting snapped. Play's being run. That's what I'm saying. What a guy. Nick Easton, the reaction when the Saints drafted McCoy.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing new. You kind of expect it. Everybody, you know, offensive line's a premium position. There's not that many great players out there, and the more you get, the better, and I think it can help our team.
How about trying to spend as much time as possible with Drew Brees to help?
Yeah, I'd love to spend as much time with him as I can. I'll take him to dinner. I'll do whatever.
See, look, try to take him to dinner. Yeah.
Pull a little LeBron.
That's right. Trying to do as much as he can. So he knows exactly when he's under him snapping. See?
Yeah. Snapping that football.
That's what it all boils down to. No doubt.
Getting the ball to the quarterback.
His thoughts on Latavius Murray, former teammate.
Oh, I love Latavius. He's a great guy. Loves the O-line and takes care of us. So he's going to be an asset in this locker room.
An asset.
Not a man of many words, is he?
No.
Okay.
Jared Cook is.
Jared Cook?
Great voice, too.
You want to hear easy a little Jared Cook?
Easy to cut, also.
Oh, really? His first impression of Drew Brees?
Nothing's changed. I mean, he's a GOAT. He's advanced in what he does, and he's typical in the way he likes things. He's a great quarterback, and that's what I've always thought.
I know it took us all of two plays in the team drill to see our first impression of Jared Cook. Crossing route over the middle, right to left. His first impression of Drew Brees?
Nothing's changed. I mean, he's a GOAT. He's advanced in what he does, and he's typical in the way he likes things. He's a great quarterback, and that's what I've always thought.
Exactly. What is he seeing so far?
I feel good. Glad to be here. Just getting the playbook down, getting to know everybody, trying to get some chemistry with you, and just keeping things pushing, but I feel pretty good.
How are the things run here a little differently, perhaps, than the Raiders?
Yeah, I think a lot of the terminology is similar. But I think it's just more getting a rapport with Drew and getting his chemistry down and understand how they run things here and how they actually like it.
What can he bring to the Saints offense?
Just another piece in the middle of the field, a big target, and a person that can get down the field to where Drew can find me.
Yeah, you saw that speed. You saw that speed, you saw that size, didn't you?
It was scary. Like a freight train.
I don't even know where to go with that. Scary like a freight train.
Yeah. It's when you're sitting on the tracks, you know? When the train.
Because you just happen to sit on the tracks all the time, right?
Well, I mean,
if
you're put in that situation.
Is that what you do on the North Shore to hang out? Just go sit on train tracks?
Yeah, it's the common thing for.
Doesn't sound very safe, just letting you know.
Oh, it's pretty fun, though. You get that thrill.
What's he like about the Saints offense?
It's always been a very tight end friendly offense. And I just thought this was a great place for me to come and extend my career and come and shine for a little bit.
I like that. What about playing with Michael Thomas?
Yeah, absolutely. Having Mike and Alvin as pretty much the 1-2 combo last year, I felt that I can come in and kind of help Mike and at the same time him help me. And we can relieve some pressure off of each other. And make this a high-powered offense once again this year. But having Mike on the other side of the field, I think it's going to be very, opening for us.
I think we'll elaborate a little bit more on this next week as to what he can maybe do. I mean, you were talking about daydreaming a little bit ago during that break. You can see what Cook can bring, I think, this offense. Opening up underneath, stretching the field, doing all those different things. Anyway, enjoy the long weekend, the Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back with you on Monday. It's the Sports Hangover. Matt Moscone, and after further review, is up next on ESPN New Orleans.